Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them to Proverbs, the 17th chapter and the 17th verse. So go to the middle of your Bible and find Proverbs right after Psalms and go to Proverbs 17:17. And folks, I'd like for us to welcome Steve and Maxine Carlson right here. Would y'all just stand? This sweet couple is the Child Evangelism Fellowship area representatives, and we are on their team, and they are on our team in getting the gospel to children in our community. Could we just welcome them to our church family? We're so glad y'all are here tonight. They're faithful in our community, reaching out to children. Child evangelism is the premier ministry working with kids. For years, we used to train teenagers in how to do good news clubs. And I don't know if y'all know this name, or maybe you have been to good news camp, Camp Good News here in our community, in our area. But for years, they have trained young people. And when I was the youth director at North Central back in the 80s, Steve, Brother Bob Barham, some of y'all remember that name, was the leader. And he would take teenagers and train them in how to share the gospel with children. If you've ever heard of the Wordless Book, you know what I'm talking about? The Wordless Book was created by Child Evangelism Fellowship, and it's one of the greatest tools that is out there to share. So, Steve and Maxine, we're really glad y'all are here. Welcome. And we need to have them back and let them share about what God's doing in our community. For a while, Kim Hart was a part of a good news club down here at Hidden Oak Elementary School. And do you know that in every public school in America, if the parents will give permission, we can teach God's word in the schools? And what happens is, after school, they can have a good news club, and there's one right there at Hidden Oak that Steve and Maxine lead out, and other volunteers help them, and it's a great effort for the gospel. So anyway, we're really delighted. And then the other thing real quickly I wanted you to know about, we have been praying for Daryl Fox, who has cancer, and he started a new treatment, and I understand that there is a run that North Florida Regional does that is for cancer research. Now, I like this name. It's called the Run Amuck with the Duck. Okay? You know, they have that duck pond over there. Run Amuck with the Duck. And it raises money for cancer research. And our Daryl is an honorary ambassador for that run. So I think it would be cool for us to be well represented from our church to be a part of that process there and that effort for cancer research. Well, we have been studying character qualities. And on your sheet tonight is a list of the 11 that we've already studied: alertness, joyfulness, boldness, initiative, responsibility, patience, availability, dependability, a clear conscience, determination, courage, and tonight, loyalty. Now, Babe Ruth was arguably the greatest hitter baseball ever had. And until Hank Aaron came along and until the modern era, he held the most home runs record for many, many years. Well, you know, I wish I had my dates just right. Somebody who's a baseball pro, Paul probably knows a lot of this stuff. He's a baseball statistician. I think he was on the Yankees for about 16 years till about 1934. At the end of Babe Ruth's career, 1935, he was traded to the Boston Braves. That was his very last place to play baseball. And they say that in one game against the Reds in Cincinnati, he struck out. Now, this is the guy that hit 715 home runs. His bat was like a hammer. I mean, this guy could crush the ball. At one point, he'd just point to where he was going to hit it, and then he'd hit it out. Well, at the end of his career, though, he didn't have it. And so, at that game that night in Cincinnati, he struck out and then in the field made some mistakes. And Cincinnati scored 5 runs in one inning. When Ruth was coming off the field, see, they weren't the Yankees. He didn't have the loyalty of those fans. People started booing. And as the story goes, he walked off the field to all these boos, but before he got to the end, a little boy jumped the fence and just ran out in the middle of the field there for the Boston Braves and just wrapped his arms around Babe Ruth's leg as if to say, "I'm still on your team, Babe." Loyalty. I want you to think about loyalty from a biblical perspective. Remaining committed to God and those He has called me to serve, even in difficulty. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Think about loyalty. Are you willing to adjust your schedule to meet the needs of those that you serve? Are you willing to change your comfort in order to meet the needs of those that you serve? The great horned owl, they say, up in Canada and the northern United States, is incredibly loyal in the way that it cares for its young. And as a matter of fact, they borrow the nests of other birds of prey, and they go into those nests early in January. It's early in the process for most birds that are laying eggs, but the great horned owl goes in early, and in January they'll lay those eggs, and then that mother sits on those eggs in the middle of the winter. Matter of fact, they store up. They have eaten a lot, and they've kind of stored their protein so they can sit on those eggs. And as the story goes, as the science and as nature reveals, sometimes in the North Woods, the snow will just pelt upon them, and they'll just sit there, and they never move. Loyalty. A demonstration of loyalty. And they'll sit there and for weeks. And they will not move and they will not eat. Because they are protecting those eggs so that those little ones can be hatched. There's a little benefit to them doing this early, though, by the way. And that is that when the little owls are hatched, there's still snow on the ground. And guess what? The little rodents that they eat, you can see them real good when there's snow on the ground. And so one of the benefits of them going early and nesting early is that they have the benefit, and they say that those little ones are just voracious eaters, and so they're constantly feeding. They're sacrificing for those that they're serving. Loyalty. Now, I want you to look in your Bible in the book of John. Let's just go through these lessons here. Loyalty, remaining committed to God and those He has called me to serve, even in difficulty. John 15:13. It seems like we always have Bible drills on Sunday night, and I lose. Sorry about that. It's the pages, they stick together on me, okay? Sorry about that. All right, John chapter 15 and verse 13 says this, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." The greatest expression of loyalty was the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you'll never have a friend like you have in Jesus Christ. You'll never see loyalty demonstrated like you see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at the book of Hebrews. Go to the next passage there. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and through 26, we see that demonstrated through another man, Moses. It says, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God." Moses was a Hebrew. And as you know, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household, but later Moses realized, hey, I'm a Hebrew, and rather than to say, look, I'm from Pharaoh's house, and to go with Pharaoh, in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to a reward. Loyalty looks to the future, looks to future reward rather than immediate gratification. Well, that's a lesson we all need in our lives. It's a lesson we need in our spiritual life. Folks, can I say this? We're not home yet. You know, we have, y'all pray for me. I've been dealing with folks that I love and folks that you love. We've all been dealing with folks that we love that are dying. They're going to heaven. The scripture says life is but a vapor. It's like boiling water. You see the water boiling up, and then you try to reach out and grab it. You may get a little moisture on your hand, but it's gone. That's the way this life is. And so the truth is this, as a believer, we're not home yet. So we can endure and we can be loyal to those we are serving and ultimately loyal to the Lord Jesus because we're not home yet. One day, we're going home. We're going to live for the future rather than live for the immediate. But that's what our world's all about, is living for the immediate. How's it going to impact me immediately? So loyalty looks to the future reward rather than immediate gratification. Now, go back to 1 Samuel. Chapter 15. And verse 11. You know that the people demanded a king in the Old Testament, and God gave them a king. He gave them Saul. But Saul was not loyal. Saul was not willing to do what God had called him to do. And as a result, look at this verse of scripture in 1 Samuel 15:11. Let me go back to verse 10. "Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night." Now you can go back and read the all of chapter 15 and realize that Saul had been commanded that he was to take out all the enemies, but he didn't do that. He did not fulfill what the Lord had called him to do. He was not loyal. And the principle here is disloyalty disappoints the heart of God. God said, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king. This is a great quality. That if we can ask the Lord to give us loyalty, to be willing to serve the Lord and to serve those he's called us to serve, even in difficult situations, that's loyalty. And we see over and over in Scripture those that turn back. As a matter of fact, John 6:66, if you'll look at that verse of Scripture, John chapter 6 and verse 66, Jesus was giving them teachings concerning the kingdom. And you see, the people were following Christ because of the miracles he was doing. He was performing healings. The crowds were big, and then Jesus began to talk to them about the kingdom and about what it would mean to follow him. He would say to them, you're going to have to follow me. And in John 6:66, the scripture says this, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Many of those that seemed like they were going to follow the Lord, they turned back. So the blank there is just the word Jesus. Jesus had some who were disloyal. And it was more than just Judas. There were those that wanted to follow him, and they didn't continue. Once they got the teaching, they turned back. Now, I don't have this one in here, but I want you to write down on the margin, I want you to write down the word Demas. And I wish I had all of the passages that I could give you on this, but I want you to just write this one down. Lord, help me find it. Look at, just write this down. 2 Timothy 4:11. Well, 10 and 11. Because in 2 Timothy 4:10, he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Now, if you go back, you can look up, if you do a concordance study, you look up the name Demas, and you'll find in passages that are chronologically earlier than this 2 Timothy passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is the last chapter in the Bible that Paul ever wrote. So this is the final word that Paul gave, 2 Timothy chapter 4. But you'll find other passages in a concordance that show Demas. And at some point he says, Demas is with me. And then he says, Demas is with me. And there's indication that Demas is wavering. Well, here at the very last one, yeah, here you go. This is amazing. This is technology right here. I better not mess with it. It'll move on me. In Philemon it says, in Philemon 1:24, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers, it says. All right? Well, then in Colossians 4:14, you can write that reference down. It says, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. He gives a little indication. Hey, Luke is going to greet you, as does Demas. And then the last one in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. So, loyalty. Now, just like all of these examples are those perhaps that were not loyal, when you have a loyal friend, boy, you've got something, don't you? When you've got a person who is committed, They're willing to adjust their schedule. They're willing to face danger. They're willing to do whatever it takes to be and to serve those that God has put in their path to serve. It is a wonderful, wonderful quality, the quality of loyalty. Now, for the last one, I want you to see how one man's loyalty, some believe, saved a nation. Go to Esther. Esther chapter 2, verse 21. Now, time doesn't permit us to go through every verse of Scripture here. But Mordecai was a Jew, and Mordecai was serving in the kingdom of Ahasuerus, the Persian leader. And in those days, the Bible says in Esther 2:21, in those days while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Verse 22, so the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther. You know, Queen Esther was related to Mordecai, and she had become the queen. Esther had become the queen of Ahasuerus. And so he told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. She said, King, Mordecai has told me there are some people after you. And so you can read the passage. They investigated it. They found out it was true, and those two men were hung. They were eliminated. Later on, Haman, as a result of that happening, the king adjusted all of his cabinet, and he put a man named Haman in charge, kind of like his secretary of state. And he was like in charge of all of this, and Haman had it out for the Jews. Well, later what ended up happening, because of the loyalty of Mordecai, this girl whom Mordecai helped raise, Esther, who was the queen, she learned loyalty from Mordecai, and Mordecai said to Esther, Esther, you've got to go before the king to tell him what Haman is going to do. Haman was trying to wipe out all the Jews. And so as a result, Esther said, I don't know that I can do that. I don't have an entrance into I don't have an audience with him. I need a special audience with him. But then she said, if I perish, a famous scripture, you know, if I perish, I perish. In other words, I'm going to do the right thing no matter what happens. Loyalty. Loyalty to her people. She saw it demonstrated in Mordecai. Well, before, as she was telling the king about it, the king remembered, well, look back here at, let's see, our passage. I just want you to see this right here. In Esther chapter 2, verse 22, so the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. Verse 23, and when an inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on the gallows, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. I wish I could have had time to tell y'all, to give y'all the passages. Go back and read this, but at the time when Haman was trying to eliminate the Jews, the king was prompted to go back and read that. And he went back and read it and remembered this. He remembered it was Mordecai who was loyal to him. Haman had erected more gallows to hang Mordecai. But when the queen went in and said to him, Haman has a plan, the king had already read that record that was back here in chapter 2, verse 23, where he remembered that Mordecai had been loyal. And the king realized that Haman, the evil leader, was not doing it in his own interest, in the king's interest, but he was doing it for his own interest, not in the interest of the people. And so anyway, as a result, Haman was put on the gallows instead of Mordecai. And could it be possible that because of the loyalty of one man to a king, that a whole nation was spared? Because Haman had it that all the Jews would be eliminated. Loyalty's powerful. It's a quality that we should ask the Lord to give us. Abraham Lincoln had a general, George McClellan. They call him the Little Napoleon. McClellan was the leader of the Army of the Potomac. He was a mastermind general, but listen, he would not move. He actually came up in a battle against Robert E. Lee. He was for the Union, and Lee was against him, and they battled, and Lee retreated, and McClellan had the president saying to him, "Go get him." Historians say that lives would have been saved had he obeyed the president and just gone and done it and defeated Lee at that moment, but he hesitated, he hesitated, he hesitated, he hesitated. McClellan was not loyal to Lincoln. As a matter of fact, to his wife, McClellan wrote that Lincoln was, quote, nothing more than a well-meaning baboon. And Secretary of State William Seward was an incompetent little puppy. Now, this was Lincoln's general. Lincoln's general, listen, was not loyal. And folks, listen, you cannot win without loyalty. And so the story is told that Lincoln would take Seward, his Secretary of State, and he would go see McClellan. And on one occasion in the fall of 1861, he came to McClellan's house, and McClellan was not there. And so Lincoln said, "I'll just wait." And so he and his Secretary of State waited in the front room. And then about an hour later, McClellan came, and McClellan came in the door, and he walked straight up the stairs. And they said, "We will tell General McClellan you're here, Mr. President. If you'll just hold on just a second, we'll get him down here." And about 30 minutes later, he sent a servant down and said this to the president, "Mr. President, General McClellan has retired to bed and will not see you tonight." Disloyalty. Later on in 1864, McClellan ran against Lincoln, and Lincoln creamed him in the election, but he ran against him. Disloyalty. Finally, he begged him to go after an attack. He said, "I can't get him to initiate." So finally, he relieved him of his command on this date, November the 5th, 1862, he was relieved of his command of the Army of the Potomac. And things began to change, and the war eventually was won. But had he been loyal, historians say many lives may have been saved because things would have ended sooner. The point is this: loyalty. We are commanded to honor our Lord and to be loyal to Him. And then when God gives us an assignment, are we willing to be loyal and to serve those that we are called to serve, even if it's difficult for us to do that? I'd like for us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.